Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19 through 23, in the New Testament section of the Red Bibles on page 214. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds, that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 19. My friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. This is the word of the Lord.
So this past week, I was lucky enough to attend the Evanston 4th of July parade for the first time. And have any of you also attended the 4th of July parade here in Evanston before? Anyone? It was my first time doing it, and it was amazing. I have never seen a 4th of July parade quite as long and quite as varied as the Evanston 4th of July parade. And you've got your marching bands. You've got your civic groups, you've got your advocacy agents, you've got politicians, police, fire trucks, old cars, dance teams. Heck, even the local Quaker Society was marching. I've never seen Quakers march before. It was something new. And as I was sitting there at the Evanston 4th of July parade, I felt pride. I felt pride in my community, a feeling I hadn't felt often before. And I felt a real sense of thankfulness that I could stand there and cheer on the people of my new home, because Evanston now is my home, and I could cheer on what we stand for. Now, later that day, I went over to some friend's house, and we talked about how they had asked their son if he wanted to go to the parade, and he asked, well, what's a parade? Well, his parents offered, well, when people get up and march down the street together and people cheer them on, that's a parade. And the son, being a good child that he is, asked the child's favorite question. Why? And that got me thinking, because I don't have a good answer to that. Why? Why do we have parades? Why do we have parades to celebrate the 4th of July? Well, it's Independence Day. It's the day we celebrate our independence as Americans, what it means to be American. But what does it even mean to be American anymore in 2018? I kept on thinking as I sat there with my friends of these great lines from America's past, like, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I thought of words like, I have a dream, that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I thought of phrases like equal protection under the law and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I thought of these words from our American past, and I thought of them that they are like the American creed, the American confession, if you will. Confession being as in naming the reality of what it means to be American. And you see, that's what confession is. Whenever you see in our church services the phrase confession, it means naming reality. Like when we have a prayer of confession at the start of the service, we're naming the reality that we are sinners in dire need of salvation. And confession also means that we admit that these words spoken by our voices come from our heart, for they are true. But in hard times, when confusion and anger seem to reign, it can be hard to hold on to these words of the American confession as if they have any meaning. And in polarized times, such as we are living in our country today, this American confession, as I'm calling it, can mean different things to different people. And I see a connection to this in our passage from Hebrews today, especially Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You can look it up in your Bibles because I'm going to be concentrating on that verse today. Here in our church, here in any church, we are not here to worship our country. We worship the Lord. But we would be lying if we didn't acknowledge that what's going on outside our doors didn't have some impact on what we are doing in here. There's a lot of confusion, not just in America, but in the entire world, and a tremendous amount of discouragement. We cannot help but bring those feelings of confusion and discouragement and maybe even fear into church with us about all manner of things. Confusion and discouragement and, yes, fear in church is nothing new. The author of Hebrews, who spoke 2,000 years ago almost, he understood this. Now, you see, what we call the book of Hebrews is actually a sermon. All right? It's a sermon just like the one I'm giving right now. And it was delivered to a group of Christians who were feeling discouraged. So when we read a verse like, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful," we hear the preacher of that sermon reaching down through the millennia to us today. If you read or listen to that verse carefully, 10:23, it tells you a couple of things. The fact that the author of Hebrews must tell people to hold on to their confession of hope without wavering means that people were wavering. When he has to remind people that the one who has promised is faithful, you get a sense that people have forgotten that the one who has promised is faithful. The author of Hebrews wanted his listeners and us, you and me, to remain faithful to our Christian and commitment during troubling times. He is addressing a very real problem, very real back then when these words were originally uttered, and very real today. The problem is discouragement and apathy. When the promises of our faith don't seem to line up and measure up to what's going on all around us. It can be hard to hold on to our faith in the midst of a broken, angry world. As Christians here at First Pres, we have to ask ourselves, who are we? What are we doing? What is it that we confess our faith in? What do we believe? What do we hold on to? You see, we as humans, we hold on to all sorts of things. I know I do. We hold on to the past. We hold on to money. We hold on to our belongings. We hold on to idealized visions of who we see ourselves to be. But when we hold on to anything but Christ, we aren't naming reality as it truly is. All the other things we can hold on to, they will fade away. They don't last. They can't last. They cannot support us when times get tough. So what do you, and I honestly want you to think about this, church, what do you hold on to when you're feeling discouraged? In moments of great change and transition, what do you hold on to? When you feel like your world is coming to an end, what do you hold on to? What do you hold on to when you just want to let go? What the author of Hebrews sees and addresses in his sermon is a Christian community in transition, one that feels its best days are behind it, a community where a narrative of decline has taken hold. Now, as we listen to this sermon in Hebrews that Pastor Ray and I are going to be working through these next couple of weeks, I want to make clear that I don't believe that our best days here in our church are behind us. But after being here in this spot for 150 years, I believe that God is bringing us to a point of thinking hard about what we are all about as a community of Christians, disciples of Jesus who seek to know him, follow him, and serve him in all we do and all we are. I believe as we reflect on our past, as we consider our present, and as we look to our future as best we can, guided by the Holy Spirit, we need to ask and continue to ask hard questions and pray and discern the way God is guiding us into the future. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet, has he? What is the confession that the author of the letter of Hebrews, this sermon that comes down to us, what is this confession that the author of Hebrews is telling us, encouraging us, exhorting us to hold on to fast without wavering? It is the confession, the scripture tells us, of hope. And it's not just hope as pie in the sky by and by. But he says, our hope. What is our hope? Now, as many of you might know, I grew up in a Baptist church. And when I see the words our hope, I immediately hear in my head the old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Anybody remember the next lyric? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So what, therefore, then is our hope? You're Presbyterian, I know, but you can shout it out. Jesus! Jesus is our hope. Our hope is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who comes down from heaven to be Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, who lived for us and died for us and rose for us so that we might live. Through him we have hope, for he who has promised is faithful. And that hope that we're enjoined to hold fast to without wavering is that Jesus stands behind us, that Jesus stands with us and before us, and the sure and certain hope that Jesus loves us, and that his love will never let us go, come what may. Now, just this morning, about 3 hours ago, actually, I left Stronghold Camp, where about 20 of our young families and kids are right now for our church's annual family camp. Now, it's a wonderful experience, and although I didn't get a lot of sleep this weekend, I really recommend y'all to come check it out because it's great, And come speak to me if you have any questions about it next year. We'll get you out there. But I saw something there and experienced something there that made me think of what it looks like to hold onto your confession of hope in times when you are feeling like you just want to let go. At Stronghold Camp, they have this high ropes thing way up in the air called the Leap of Faith. And you climb to the top and then you jump if you want to. And you try and grab and land on this platform that's being suspended in the middle of the air. Now, lots of people don't actually want to jump because it's scary to jump and not know where you are going to land, isn't it? And so they just fall off. And the safety net grabs them. I didn't do the leap of faith because I was scared. But I'll tell you who did. An 11-year-old in our church by the name of Zadie Ivaska. Now, she didn't land on that platform 18 of the 19 times she jumped. But on that last jump, she did. Every time she jumped, the safety net grabbed her. She was afraid. She told me that she was afraid every time she took that leap. But she took the leap of faith anyway. Now, we've all felt that fear at times when we've just got to jump, right? When we've made a decision that will affect our future and we don't know what to do, or when we're faced with a frightening or tragic situation, one that is out of our control, or when we feel lost and alone, then we hold fast to our confession and jump, leap in faith and trust in the love that will not let us go. For the one who loves us is faithful. Now, on Christmas Day, 1939, it was a pretty dark day in the United Kingdom. The UK had just declared war on Germany when Germany had invaded Poland 4 months earlier. The nation had just instituted a military draft. They had evacuated 1.5 million children from the city of London alone to protect them from bombs. They were building in London over 1 million bomb shelters. They had ordered, and this statistic gets me very upset, they had ordered more than 1 million gas helmets for babies. Now, many found themselves unemployed as retail sales slumped and businesses closed. There was discouragement, there was confusion, there was fear. Now, if you had been the King of England, faced with giving a Christmas Day radio address to a nation in those circumstances, what would have you said? Now, yeah, there was a movie based on this a couple years ago, but the real situation was a lot more dramatic because movies aren't real life. This actually happened. And what the king chose to say on Christmas Day brought great hope and strength to his people and the people spread across the British Commonwealth. He acknowledged the great crisis that was upon him, and then he quoted these words that I'll read to you now. I said to a man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And the man replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So, church, I say to you, put your hand in the hand of God. Trust in the love of Jesus that will never let you go. And together, to quote Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.